we go. It is a getaway Friday, March the 17th, 2023. It is St. Patrick's Day, 15 minutes past the hour, 49 degrees, cloudy skies here in Marion. And it's time for Over the Back Fence with myself and Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker, how are you on this kind of rainy St. Patrick's Day so far?
Well, I'm watching. It is rainy St. Patrick's Day, isn't it?
It is.
I've got a funny St. Patrick's Day story. I'll tell you today. But anyway, and it goes back to the thing of maybe we better behave ourselves on St. Patrick's Day. But anyway, what a... something we celebrate every year. I remember, you know, one of the first memories of St. Patrick's Day was you better wear something green to school, you're going to get pinched, remember?
I do. Is that still a thing? Do people still do that?
You know, I don't know. So many traditions have been tossed, even one silly ones like that. It's hard to tell. Anyway, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker, Community Christian Fellowship here in Prospect, Ohio, and I enjoy doing this over the back of Scott. Kind of toss out some interesting thoughts and ideas sometimes, and you would have a little bit of debate at times, and hopefully it's informative and fun, right?
Absolutely, and you know, I wanted to start at a certain place this morning because there was a story that caught my eye, and we just covered it in the last hour because we've talked a lot about social media and its impact on people's lives. And we have a candidate who's running for mayor here in Marion, Sue McGowan. She was just on with us last hour. And yesterday, somebody had posted on social media that she had not gotten her dog tags renewed for her three dogs. Now, this became such a big story yesterday and spread around to so many people that she had to respond to it. And I think, you know, I don't know that that would have been a big story years ago.
I don't think it should be a big story anyway. You know, the thing is, we have our, we got our dog tags. We do them by mail, but I'll be honest, you know, my wife reminded me, she said, hey, she said, we've got to get it in the mail. It's so easy to forget something as simple as that. First of all, because you don't, you're so busy with day-to-day things that, you know, dog tags are just easy to, how many people actually forget their license to get their license plate renewed, and you're driving around and all of a sudden they pull you over and say, do you know your plates are expired? And people go, oh, no, and that's something that they really need every day. So I think people need to lighten up a little bit.
Well, it's just interesting to me because I was thinking if there was only a newspaper and radio and television, would that ever make the cut?
Oh, no. No, I just there's too many other things. It might on some on the very back page in the bottom corner in print so small you couldn't see it. Yeah, I know social media can really blow up and it can twist stuff too. And you know, unfortunately, once something's on social media, in our culture, it almost becomes gospel. It's scary. And there are such more important things that we need to be focusing on. And you know, I have to blame, here I go again, I'm going to attack the news media. I have to blame a lot of our news media because they dredge up a lot of stories that were dead. I don't know whether they need new space or whether it's going to get a new spark or what, but I just noticed this last week on some of the mainstream news media, some stories they were dredging up from 3 years ago that once again were attack stories, and it's like, you know, if we're learning about what we talk about from our news media, you know, if we're going to, I think that there's such a thing as responsible journalism, and yes, sometimes it does expose the bad. And sometimes it does have to go after ratings, and sometimes it does do a little sensationalism because they need to get the story first. But the thing is, if you're going to be a responsible, honest journalist, and you're going to give people what they really need and understand that they have the mentality to sort things out themselves without the spin, I think that if that's the case, I think that we need to be a better example to people that they're serving of just what news really is. And when you start dredging and throwing gospel over there and you're a paid broadcaster, a news anchor or whatever, I think that it just kind of tells people that stuff's fair game. Now, I'm not going to blame them for all of it, of course, but I think that's a problem.
Well, Well, when I looked at this story, because this was a complete social media story, it was not covered by any major news outlet, and, right. and what I thought was, what was the purpose behind this? What, I mean, was it to demean her? Was it to... Well, I mean, what is the connotation? Because you didn't get your dog tags, you can't be mayor?
Well, I guess they were saying is, you know, if she was a real responsible civil servant, she would take care of the things that are responsible in being a citizen before she ever wants to be a civil servant. I think that's kind of what they were probably spinning and throwing out there. You know what I mean?
Well, it very well might have been, but it does say something about where we are as a society that... people really don't care about people's feelings anymore. And I don't know, did anybody go to her and say, why didn't you get your dog tags before they ran that story? Because that would have been something that would have been done years ago.
Well, it's just like when you have you're right. And it's just like something with a candidate where you know, they've been vetted for where they're at. They've been torn, they've already been stripped up and down, and then you're going after them for their wanting to see their tax returns and just beating it like a dead horse. It's the same. It's really the same thing. It's just trying to make something out of nothing, and we do so much of that. You know, it's interesting. I think, Scott, honestly, we really got to get a hold of our compassionate side and our. We start caring more about people for people, and truth for truth, and being concerned about a real concern, a society's concern about what we do to people. We are so used to listening to things that we make up a truth, whatever truth we want it to be, we make it up and stand on it. And that's just not the way that it has ever meant to be. And so many people get hurt. And you know, what offends me doesn't offend you, or what offends you might not offend me. But what I have to understand is something I say may offend you. Interesting poll I heard the other day. You're going to like this one. Maybe not like it, but it's an interesting poll. They had done it was a nationwide poll. And they had polled people about whether they felt comfortable with their job if they were A, letting their Christian religious beliefs be known at work, and B, posting on social media about it, because of course your job today, they see your social media. And only 12% of the people polled said they would feel that there wouldn't be some slight disadvantage to that, at least, or major disadvantage with their job, if it was revealed that they were a conservative Christian. And the interesting thing about that is the very people that are going after those people for their supposed off-the-charts right-wing craziness, when it's just basically following, personally today, if you follow our Constitution, you're considered a crazy by so many. But those very people are the ones that say that they're inclusive and want to accept all sides, but it depends on whether it's the side they want to accept or not. Isn't that bizarre?
Now, what would be the repercussion that they would face?
Well, in a lot of cases, you would face maybe just in some cases. Well, if depending on where you're at, what company it is, some things that Christians would post on social media would be considered to them hate speech, and you could lose your job over it. There's been many, many cases of people losing their jobs over that kind of thing. I'll give you a good example. I was talking to a young lady that is in, and this is no different than the workplaces, the world culture today. I have a granddaughter that was in Marion LSU, and besides her, I had another young man that I had, a wonderful young man in Marion that is also in Marion. He's at Marion Tech, and both these kids have come to me this year and said, our class is a nightmare. When we get, especially when they get into subjects like sociology, mythology, things of those nature, that if they express their Christian views, they are so beat down in class. One young man called me upset and said, I just had to get out and walk out of my class. My entire class was attacking me because I was a Christian and for my views. Now, you tell me what part of understanding and compassion is that?
Well, and I think it's part and parcel of the bigger problem. We talked a couple weeks ago about would people vote for an atheist for mayor? And it really came back that no, probably in Marion, Ohio, they wouldn't. Now, maybe in some areas they would, but they wouldn't. And that was a big story when it came out. And I don't know if people are just judgmental of everything. If you are not what I am, then you are wrong. It just seems to me that seems to be where we are.
We have this movement in the country that's moving towards this, what they call a woke culture, you know, accepting everyone and all opinions are valid. But for some reason, if you have an opinion that is different than theirs, it's not valid. It's just one of the most bizarre things in the world. It's really strange to me. And so many things, we're changing things, Scott. You know, it's kind of interesting. We talk about St. Patrick's Day today, and I was reading something on St. Patrick himself. I want to read it real quick. Just take a second. It says, Patrick, of course, St. Patrick was the patron saint of Ireland. Roman Britain, 4th century. He was kidnapped at 16 and taken to Ireland as a slave. But he escaped. And years later, he went back to Ireland to try to convert the Irish to Christianity. This is in the 4th century. And so by the time of his death, he established monasteries, churches, schools, and, of course, many legends grew out and around about him and all the neat things that he did. One of the things with the three-leaf clover was that he used it to explain the Trinity, which I can get that. He may have. It was a story, but he may have because, you know, lots of times you like to have visual props, right, when you're explaining something. But what have we turned it into in this country? We've turned it into green beer, green rivers, crazy celebrations, and you know, poor St. Patrick, man. You know, I don't think there's a legacy he wanted to leave behind, but that's kind of what we've done with it. And I don't mind celebrations. You can celebrate the Irish, that's fine. The Greens, all fine. But, you know, St. Patrick being someone that was very committed to the church and to Christ and to sharing Jesus Christ with people, has a holiday associated with getting smashed on green beer, which, you know, the Bible certainly does not say that, you know, it doesn't say that all alcohol is completely forbidden, but it does say that drunkenness is. And here's a guy, you know, you take something completely away from what it stood for. I'll give you another good example that I find personally offensive as a Christian is that the symbol of the rainbow and what the Bible says, why God put it in place. And it was a reminder that the earth would never be flooded again. It's been a Christian symbol for millennia. And then the LGBTQ, RST, LMNOP, I know there's so many I can't count anymore. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they adopt it as their symbol. And I just think, you know, why are we doing these things? Why don't we just leave some traditional things the way they are and let people celebrate them for what they are? And what do you think about that, Scott?
Well, I think it's interesting because I think that we are in a society where, for some reason, you would think that we would have maybe developed a little thicker skin as time went on, but I believe people have a less thick skin now than they once had. And it's very unfortunate because I look at things like, I think we would call it bullying, that people say about other people. And I think, you know, what's the motive? To try to hurt somebody's feelings? To try to take them down? I don't know. I just think we have a society that's very depressed right now. and not happy. And I think that's why they look at things like St. Patrick's Day and Valentine's Day and Easter and things of that nature, and they try to turn them into kind of party atmospheres because every other day of their life is not so happy.
That's a very sad commentary. It truly is, because there's so many things that we have to live for that are wonderful. And I'm not saying that you can't do things of that nature. I'm just saying, you know, at least have some respect for what they've been. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and I think...
Have some respect. Do we think about, the real offensive... There's some things we'll go after in a heartbeat. Like, for instance, in Bexley, we saw that over the news where the teacher Black History Month, put up the orangutan eat a banana. Okay, well, first of all, I never personally associated orangutans with black people, and I don't know why anyone would. But whether he meant that way or not, he may have, and if he did, shame on him. But my point is, that drew national attention. But some of these other things, where groups are horribly offended and hurt, don't draw any attention at all. And I think that we just have a culture that is picking and choosing right now what they're going to attack and what they're not. There's something interesting I was reading last week. I've got this little pamphlet, and I'd love for anyone out there that would like one of these. I would gladly order one for you. And it's called Let Boys Be Boys, and it's really neat. And it talks about the culture and kind of what we've done to boys today and how we're psychologically even in a lot of ways changing, you know what young boys are. And I'll read you one positive paragraph out of here. It says, while we don't excuse the behavior of bad men, we must recognize that good men can be made from boys. And what they're talking about is boys are rambunctious. They just are. Snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. And their makeup holds the potential for good men as much as unique makeup of girls holds for them to be good women. It says, engaging this potential will take energy and strategic thought. Ideally, boys and girls would have separate learning environments in order to take advantage of their unique learning styles. Schools and organizations that take this approach are seeing great results. For example, Booker T. Washington High School in Memphis raised its graduation rate from 53 to 90.5% after converting to boys-only and girls-only classes. Isn't that interesting? But what this is born out of is the fact that that boys learn differently than girls do. And it was that there are differences between... it said boys think differently because their brains are different. While we've always heard that the left side of our brain is used for verbal process and the right for art, that's only true for males. Girls can process verbally on both sides of their brain, making connections in a different way and giving them an advantage in a classroom setting that is primarily verbal instruction. And then it also talked about how the difference in rods and cones in boys and girls' eyes is, whereas girls can they see differently than boys. Boys are much more attracted to bright things, to general activity outside of them in general. Girls can be more focused. Talk about how hearing, this is very interesting. Girls have 10 times better hearing in low tones than boys do. That's why a girl can sit in a classroom that's quiet and pay attention, and boys are darting all over the place. Boys learn by stimulation far, far more than girls. And that's why, you know, you sit in a classroom, and girls can sit there and listen to a teacher and a lecture and do very well doing that. And boys are sitting there, you know, if a dog barks out the window down the road, they're there. That's where their mind goes to. If everything distracts them, and if you think about it, we've amalgamized our learning process into one process in a classroom that is mostly lecture driven, and boys have like 10 times more rate of ADD. And what they're trying to say is that a lot of these boys don't have ADHD. What they have is they're boys, and they need to grow up, and they need stimulus to learn. So what I'm getting at with this, and thinking, where did you go down this road from? The very fact that we're trying to amalgamize everyone into some form of thought in this country that's all the same, and we are all so different, completely different. We've got to recognize the biological difference between boys and girls, and give boys a fair shake to be boys. Why are we punishing boys for acting like boys? Now, they have rules, they have to behave, but why can't we let boys be boys anymore? And isn't that something at least worth considering?
Why do you think this has become an issue now, and maybe not in the 50s or 60s?
Why? Because in the 50s or 60s, I'll go back even further. How about the 1850s or 60s? I'll go back to Little House on the Prairie or one of those shows. And you notice that they understood, even Hollywood understood this thought process. Because in the show, when they'd have the kids in the classroom in the school, you know, when they'd let them out for recess, they'd all run outside, and you'd see the little girls huddle up, and the boys would grab a ball and a bat, and they'd take off. And along with this study that I was reading on Let Boys Be Boys, it said that boys specifically need at least a hard hour of physical activity every day for their brains to develop properly, in their thinking process to develop properly. Unlike girls need literally a quarter of that. And I think the difference in the 50s was boys were very active. Even if they weren't overly active in school, you know, they came home, they went out, they ran out the front door and played. They ran out the door and played ball or ran or had chores to do. And boys need that physical drive activity to be successful. And it's sad when you have a boy that is just being a boy, and then he's made to look like the class buffoon or the class troublemaker or the class this or the class that. I recently know of someone, of a little boy that was expelled from a school because the teacher said he just disrupts the class too much. Well, sometimes I think with boys, the class needs to be a little geared more towards working with those kids particularly. I understand that in our teaching structure, the way it is now in school, you cannot have a disruptive child. They will disrupt the class. But you understand something, years ago, boys and girls in the classrooms, in large part, in most cases, were more separated than what we do today. They learn differently, and they are differently. So I think we need to re-examine some of these things. I'll give you a personal example. My son was in middle school. They were at their wits' end with him. I mean, he was, you know, the teachers were tired of him disrupting in class, not paying attention, comments, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And, you know, of course, you go into the school and you talk to the teachers, what are we going to do with him, blah, blah, blah. Well, the janitor really liked him and had a good idea. He said, how about I try something? Let me get him out of class for at least 1 hour a day and let him help me do some janitorial stuff. And you know, amazingly enough, he settled right down and his grades turned around and he quit being disruptive because he needed that time, and so many boys do. And I think that we've got to stop trying to funnel all of our kids down the same hole. One of my pet peeves, and you've heard me say this before, is the kids that are in gifted classrooms. Oh, that word just goes through me like nails on a chalkboard. Because all kids are gifted. And what do you think it does to the self-esteem of a child when they come to the door and say, oh, we need so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, it's time for to go to their gifted class. Oh, what are the other kids? Chopped liver? Now, if you want to say they're in a progressive math class or give it a name of something because they're excelling in a certain area, that's fine. But to refer some of your kids as gifted and some of them as not is very, very demeaning.
You know, I remember when it used to be called tag, talented and gifted, but they called it tag. You know, if they came into a room, they said, okay, the tag kids. And nobody really...
If the kids, they say, what's tag mean? Oh, that means talented and gifted. You mean my kid's not talented and gifted because he, for crying out loud.
Well, you know, this is interesting because I think this is where, because I always wonder where this point happened when we're talking about the 50s and 60s. There was a point, and we hear it all the time in people's reminiscences of their childhood, that if they did something bad at school, by the time they got home, the neighbor was going to scold them, their parents were going to scold them, and that's just how it was. Now, yeah, now, well, the parents don't even show up for parent-teacher conferences, and if you try to get a hold of them, a lot of times they won't answer the phone, and if you do get a hold of them, it's not their fault that their kid is acting up, it's your fault. And the thing of that is, the problematic nature of that is that if your kid is acting up, why is that my fault that your kid is acting up? You are the disciplinarian.
I have an answer for that, and it goes across all spectrums of our society right now. We have so diminished personal responsibility that everybody just blows something off to the next person. And it's happened in our workplace environment. Bosses will listen to what you have to say, and then they'll just buck it off somewhere else. People don't take the responsibility for who they are or what they are. Our parents need to be responsible. It is their job as parent to raise their child, not the school. And schools, in many cases, have been put in a bad spot in which to do it. Now, when I say that, you know, I want teachers to understand, when I say that boys are disrupting and they're just being boys, I fully understand that you can't function in your classroom with all this going on. But here's the difference. If you go back to the 50s or 60s, boys were rambunctious and boys were boys. But when boys did things that were actually bad and really were bad, they did get in trouble when they got home. They did get corrected. The parents did get called. The parents did come to meetings because the parents knew they had to be personally responsible for their child. Now what we have is we have a classroom full of kids where, you know, the kids basically look at the teacher and they say, you have no right to touch me, no right to yell at me, and if you do this, I'll tell my dad, and he'll... And the dads do. They call in and cuss the teacher out. We've really, in all these areas, we've gotten so off track. I don't understand, Scott. We are the most prominent nation in the world. We have been for a long time. Why is it that we're 35th in education? Why is it that we keep going down all these crazy roads that are not helping kids to excel? It's actually going in the opposite direction. I mean, we've really got to look at this situation and where we're at. And we've changed so much in the last quarter century, and even half century and quarter century, that we obviously are not going down a road that makes any sense.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, when it comes to this talented and gifted and also problem kids, this is what it comes down to me, and I find this fascinating. Yes, there are those times when people come in and say, okay, the talented and gifted kids come this way, and yes, there are those times when a kid will act out, and you know they're acting out because they do it in class, so everybody's aware of what's going on. But then there also are other factions. There's the band. There's the sports kids. And, you know, it's all chopped up into this different pizza, this pie, and people are treated differently.
Chopped it up.
Yeah. Well,
intramural sport?
What's that?
Do you remember intramural
sport? Oh, yeah. Well, but the sports thing is fascinating to me because not everybody is as gifted as somebody else in sports, but certainly they get out of class early. They get to go on trips that other people don't, get to go to dinners that other people don't. And most high schools that I've ever been around have a sports hall of fame. Now, if you went down that and actually looked at their academics, and a lot of those people have even been in prison, but they're in the sports hall of fame at that high school. No academic hall of fame.
Well, that that tells you where our culture is. Our culture is in a place right now where it's become the true American idol is sports. And parents will go broke funding it. They will take all their time away going to it. They will break up the family unit by going different directions and not eating around a dinner table anymore. They have totally accepted sports as their god in this country.
Well,
and they really have, Scott. I mean, it's, I'm not being rude. I coach myself. and I like sports, but I try to do it in measure and put it in a place it needs to be. But, I mean, it is such a pull on, I don't understand it. I think that a lot of parents are totally living vicariously through their children in sports today. Because they have low self-esteem and by their kid. I don't know. I don't get it.
This is a fascinating subject because, and I honestly, and from the bottom of my heart, I let grandparents off on this one because I knew my grandparents well. And if I had done well playing a sport or academics or whatever it was, my grandparents would have, if they lived in the social media era, they would have put that out there because that's what grandparents do. Now, what's interesting to me, though, is parents. Because I look so often at what parents post on social media. I never comment because it's their business. But if all the pictures I see and all the pats on the back and all the pep talks are always about sports, I don't know anything about your academics. I don't know where you're going to college. I don't know anything except that you are good at that particular sport. And your whole high school career is wrapped around that. And I think, you know,
what's
not
sad
that,
about that, Scott?
What?
You know what's really sad about
what's that?
That is because when they get out of high school, all that glory goes away.
Exactly. And what do you think? What does that kid think? When that glory goes away and your parent has been, yeah, when your parent's been patting you on the back for years and years and years, you're great, I'm so proud of you. Well, do they continue to say that?
Let me ask you a question. If you take someone that's been a great financial success in business and they've amassed millions of dollars and they go broke overnight, what happens to them? Half the time they commit suicide and they're adults.
Right.
So, what happens to a young person that has been held up as this icon? I'll give you a good example. If anyone's a teacher out there, I think it's great that we celebrate kids, but I think we need to be more even-handed. We had some students go to one of the schools has some students go to the state wrestling competition. Well, they had all the kids come out in the hallway and do a clap out for them and give them high fives as they were heading out the door. I don't see anything wrong with that. But you know what? We also had some kids place unbelievably in judging competitions in FFA, in ag class, in soil judging. So those kids didn't get a clap out when they went to their state meet. You see the difference?
Oh, absolutely. Pep rallies. Have you ever heard of a pep rally for anything but sports?
No. Not at all. And that's the thing. I mean, but on top of the fact that it's great that we celebrate kids and their abilities and things of that nature, what do you think that does to the kid that doesn't have any of those abilities but works their tail off? And say they're not even a best student, but they work really hard to get the best grades they can. And they're trying to make the best of themselves. And as far as everyone's in the school, they're just mediocre. You know, you even walk down a hallway, and you'll see the students saying, hey, to the athletes, hey, buddy, hey, Tom, hey, Tommy, how's it going today, buddy? And then there's this kid walking by, and they got four books in front of them, walking with their head down. Teacher doesn't even acknowledge them.
Absolutely.
You see the problem?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's fascinating because I ran into a guy that gained quite a bit of weight after high school, a pretty large amount of weight, and I said to him, because he was talking about his weight, and I said, well, when do you think this problem started? I mean, what brought this on? Well, I stopped exercising after I stopped playing football. And I said, well, you know, maybe you could start exercising again. And they said, well, you know, that football, when I was out on that field, that was the highlight of my life. And I thought, well, I guess when the cheering stops, that's maybe that's why you were exercising. Maybe that's why you were slimmer back then. Maybe it wasn't so much the exercising, it was what the exercising brought you.
I knew a guy years ago, Scott, that was a standout basketball player when he was at Grandview in high school. Now, we're going back a lot of years. But he Grandview was a small school, so even though he was a standout player there, he wasn't D1 material, you know what I mean? But he was so held out and so applauded, he focused his whole life around it. And by the time I got to know this guy, he was like early 30s. And he walked, his attire every day was tennis shoes, tube socks pulled up to his knees like they wore when he was playing, basketball shorts, and a tank top. That's what he wore every day. And he would walk around while he was talking to you and pretend like he was dribbling and taking shots. Now, is that crazy? He was also a severe alcoholic. But he got out of high school, and all that glory left, and he became a nobody. People went off to school to do academics and whatnot. No schools wanted him for college, and there he was, and he got locked into that. We have to be careful with what we're doing. It's the same thing with what they're doing with these gender of these kids. We got to realize there's life after high school, and you can't build a false scenario for them to stand on and then just drop them at the end of it. I've seen so many kids that were standout athletes go to drugs and alcohol when they got out of high school. I've seen a lot less kids that were standout academics do that, and that's because they had something they could continue in. They could keep challenging themselves academically.
Well, I think it's the big question. What do you do when the cheering stops? How do you handle that?
Well, the thing is, you have to be taught holistic self-worth while they're in school. That's the problem. We're so busy making them the best at this or the best at that, that we're not stopping to look at the whole student. We're not talking to look at their stopping to look at is there a spiritual aspect to their life? We're not welcoming thought into the school. We're not welcoming diversity. They can talk diversity all we want. We live in the most undiverse culture in the world right now. They can call it diversity, but it better be diverse. It's only diversity if you agree with a far-left mentality when you come into the schools today. Anything that's not far-left, you don't even want to talk about because you're going to get bashed. And that's just a fact. People can argue it all they want, but it's a fact. And I have examples of over and over and over again. Now, not all schools are as bad as others, but that's the way it is. So what I'm saying is we need to welcome, somebody comes into a school and say they're a Mormon, okay? What's wrong with having a discussion, an open discussion? You know, well, what do you guys believe in? And don't make the kid feel like you're going to jump down, they're going to be laughed at for it. Let's have open discussion. Let's let people talk about who they are and why they believe. Let's have open dialogue. I'll give you another good example of exactly what I'm talking about. You let a kid today in school say he believes in creation, and he's instantly being made fun of versus evolution. Instantly being made fun of by the teacher and everyone else. And here's the problem with that. What leg do they have to stand on? Have they really scientifically looked at what they're promoting, or it's just been the accepted norm and that's what you go with? It's no different than when everyone taught creation, and way back 100 years ago when all of a sudden people started talking about something different and everyone laughed at them. Now, some people say, well, you're getting what you deserve. No. If we have to start respecting what other people say and have open dialogue, how am I ever going to convince you? And the only reason to convince anyone of anything is if you feel it's for the betterment of the situation or themselves to believe it. I don't think that we force people into anything, which unfortunately our students are being forced into some train of thought today, and there's only one way that things are being taught, especially when it comes to science. But the point is, how is anyone ever going to learn anything if we don't welcome that open discussion and diversity without ridicule?
Well, I think that's the key to everything, is in kind of where we started today, is why ridicule anybody for anything? What is the point? And I think this is why bullying is as high as it is. If we can find anything that's a difference between myself and somebody else, that is a point to make fun of. And that's just where we are.
And where does that come from? It comes from low self-esteem.
Right.
Why do you want someone to feel bad, or you to... You want them to look worse than you because your self-esteem isn't too great anyway. You see what I mean?
Well, that's it. And I don't know why putting somebody else down is supposed to prop us up.
Because it's been that way since the beginning of time.
But, you know, when you watch
it's
it...
It's how we deal with inadequacy. Instead of facing issues ourselves, we take the easier out, and that's to make something else look worse.
Well, it's interesting, though, because when you watch it happen in profile, if you're not a part of it, and you watch somebody making fun of somebody else for something that's different about them, it's not fun to watch. You normally don't like that person who's doing that. It's not, it doesn't make you, it doesn't make them endearing to you.
You know, when I was a kid in school, one of the things, every time I got in a fight, at school, and I'm talking about back then we could actually get in fights without getting expelled. But every time I got in a fight, it was because I was defending a kid that was being picked on. I never ever was in a fight where I was just picked on someone or they were picking on me. I was always going to the defense of a bully that was picking on a kid. And 9 times out of 10, I got my butt handed to me. But the point was, where are all the people sticking up for these people today that are being bullied?
Well, that's a good question. We got about 3 minutes left, Pastor. Now, did you have the St. Patrick story you wanted to throw in here?
Yeah, it's a funny story. It's not real. It's many, many years ago, St. Patrick's Day, my brother-in-law and I decided that we were going to go to Beulah Park and watch the horse races. I basically grew up there. My dad raced horses, and I hadn't been in years. We decided to go. And we stopped at a convenience store on the way there, and there was a guy in there that we both knew. I'd gone to school with him, and he asked what we were doing. He says, "Well, hey, let me go with you." So, okay, well, we noticed on the way down he was acting kind of strange, more strange than we were used to. We got there, and we were standing in line at one of the mutual windows, and we hear all this commotion. And this guy that had come with us had pulled out a toy pistol and was robbing one of the ticket windows. And they were tackling him. But it was really odd because we had to go down to the secretary's office and tell him, hey, we were with this guy but knew nothing of what he was doing because we already knew we were on surveillance, you know, on camera. And but isn't that funny, a silly thing like that would even happen?
Well, that is interesting because you never know. You never know what's going to happen. And I think we just all have to be prepared as time goes on.
But unfortunately, that has tainted my St. Patrick's Day memories for my entire life of this guy, you know, robbing a ticket window at Beulah Park with a toy gun. And wow, crazy, huh?
Absolutely. Well, we do want to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day and
absolutely.
Be safe in whatever you're doing. And we'll
in the spirit of St. Patrick, be kind to people. Tell people the truth. Do good.
Absolutely. And be safe in whatever you do. And we'll be back in the studio next week. And this program is live every Friday morning from 9:15 until 10 a.m. And it repeats on Wednesday and Thursday from 3:15 until 4, Sunday morning, from 8:15 until 9. And you can get it on the website, wwgh1071.com, under Program Archives. All of the episodes are there.
May God bless you all. Have a good day.
Thanks, Pastor.
Bye.
All right, and that's the end of that program. Hope you have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day.
And we'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee